had a good week. We had a interesting event that occurred in our house this week. We were upstairs, and for about an hour, our laundry machine was running without us knowing, and it broke, and our downstairs flooded. So we had a week of trying to get that cleaned up, and it resulted in a ruined carpet, so dealing with our insurance, which is a story in itself, because we were just talking about getting rid of our seat insurance the week before, and we decided not to, mostly because of laziness. So it all worked out. We are all here this weekend for a celebration. A celebration of the achievements of three young people who graduated from high school and are moving on to the next phase of their lives. Over the next decade, they will experience professional, personal, and spiritual achievements. Professionally, some of you will graduate from college, get your first job, and get your first promotion. Personally, some of you will get married, will have kids, will get your first house. And spiritually, some of you, hopefully all of you, will fully commit to God's way of life and be baptized in the body of Christ. Graduation opens the door for many opportunities and many potential achievements. It often marks the beginning of a long string of achievements. God desires us to have success and achievements in our lives, but He expects us to remember Him when we succeed. For those of you who like titles, the title of my sermonette today is Looking to God in Times of Achievement. I'm going to go through three examples of people who had success and the lessons we can learn from them. The first one is a good example of what we should not do when we are granted success. Please turn to Daniel 4, verse 29. This was after Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream that Daniel interpreted. Daniel predicted the events that were about to take place and recommended that Nebuchadnezzar repent. Daniel 4, verse 29. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling place shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. And seven times shall pass over until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar had an attitude that we as many times as humans have a tendency towards. He had an "I earned it" attitude. He had been successful. He felt very good about himself and his accomplishments. No doubt he had worked very hard to get where he was. But he did not realize how instrumental God had been in his life throughout. Though he should have. He was surrounded by Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, four men of God. He had witnessed several obvious miracles from God. He received multiple dreams from God, which had been interpreted to him by Daniel. But even after all this, he still failed to recognize God's role in his success. He had to suffer a severe trial to force him to see this. In this day and age, I think the easiest way to get someone in this "I earned" attitude is talk to them about taxes. In such conversations, people many times get in the mindset of, that's my money. We need to be wary of getting into such a mindset and remember that God is the source of everything we have been given. Now let's look at an example of the right attitude. Turn to 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. This was soon after King David had received the throne of Israel, and God had made a covenant with him, saying that his throne would be established forever. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, you know your servant. For your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you. You nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name, and to do yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. David's example is completely opposite from the example of Nebuchadnezzar. You can see it in his attitude from the very first verse, when he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? God had made a great promise to him, and instead of getting a big head about it and thinking he earned it or deserved it, he came to God with a very humble attitude. He recognized God's greatness. He recognized God's role in the accomplishments of Israel. He recognized God's role in his own accomplishments. And he recognized that he needed God if he wanted continued success. Let's apply David's example in our lives. We need to meditate on how God has contributed to our successes and give glory and honor to him for his blessings. Let's turn to one last scripture that gives us a positive example of how to act when we are successful. Turn to Genesis 14, verse 14. This is the first war described in the Bible. It's a battle that involved 9 different kingdoms. Abram had become embroiled in this war because Sodom had been conquered and his nephew Lot had been captured. Genesis 14, verse 14. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Haba, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheba. That is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And Abram gave him a tithe of all. Abram had great success in this battle. He had taken many spoils of war from this victory, which greatly increased his wealth. Melchizedek, who is said to be the priest of God Most High, recognized that God had been with Abram and had been the source of his success. Abram agreed with Melchizedek. We know this because of Abram's gesture towards God. He gave Melchizedek, God's priest, a tithe of all. By Abram doing this, he was recognizing God as the source of his victory. Abram serves as a great example of how we should act when we are successful. It is a great feeling when you get a job and start earning income from that job. It is a feeling of accomplishment. You work hard and you try to earn every bit of your paycheck. That being said, we must remember God's contribution in that success and all our successes, and then give him his allotted portion. It is not always easy tithing. When you add it all up, it's a large sum of money. But tithing should do two important things for us. First, it serves as a reminder to us that God is the source of our success. Without him and his blessings, we may not have gotten the job, the health to work, or the ability to do our work. Second, it serves as a way we can honor and thank God for giving us that success. As we achieve successes in our lives, let's heed the lesson of these three scriptures. We should not have an I earned it attitude like Nebuchadnezzar. Instead, we should give God what he is due. We should give him honor and praise like David, and we should give him his allotted portion like Abram. As we celebrate the successes of the three young people this weekend, let us remember God's role in their success. And as they progress in their lives, and as we all move forward in our lives, let us look to God in our achievements.